Spears, a longtime Chicago-area sports journalist, and PGA Life member, former touring professional, and pizza maker extraordinaire. Those things go together for Bill Berger. And, hey, Rory, you know, playing three is fun, but when you can add a fourth to the group, it makes the game even better. Why don't you take a moment and introduce our guest co-host this morning.
Okay, well, you know what? We've been known as Chicago's favorite foursome for a long time, and it's nice to have a foursome in the studio during championship week. And we welcome in for the first time a longtime golf industry consultant and the founder of Golf Chicago Magazine, Bill Daniels. Bill, how are you this morning?
I'm fine, Roy. Thanks for inviting me, Ed. Bill, it's just a pleasure to be here. It's beautiful outside, but we'll... I'm looking forward to a talk today.
Well, we waited till there was an 81 degree day on a Saturday in Chicago to bring you in, Bill. So,
You didn't bring you in on one of those, you know, April weekends with snow that we, of course, were all expecting and enjoying as golfers, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And it is championship week. Not only do we have the PGA Championship at Bethpage Black, but we also have the championship that was here last year, the U.S. Senior Women's Open, taking place down in Southern Pines in North Carolina. And Laura Davies is one shot off the lead, chasing, I think, a couple of players. We have Helen Alfredson and Julie Inkster in the hunt, Trish Johnson, some of the names we've seen at the senior LPGA at French Lick and also in the U.S. Senior Women's Open last year. Sort of there's a group of people. They're all back in contention. And over in at the PGA Championship, we have some familiar names at the top of the leaderboard. Brooks Koepka is blasting Bethpage, and he has a... It's a pretty good lead at this point over Jordan Spieth, Adam Scott. Billy, your buddy, Daniel Berger.
He's doing kind of good, huh?
Yeah, he's on the first page. Dustin Johnson is there, and Kelly Kraft, the 2011 U.S. Amateur champion up at Erin Hills, also on the front page of the leaderboard as well. So there'll be some great golf this afternoon, and looking forward to getting home and putting our feet up in front of the TV and watching these two championships that are both on this afternoon. And in a couple of minutes, Ed, we'll have Vince Pellegrino, the Senior Vice President of Tournaments from the Western Golf Association. He'll be here to talk about the brand-new Evans Scholars Invitational that'll tee off this week at the Glen Club.
Well, exciting to have tournament week underway. And, of course, Rory, anyone scrolling our website for golfersongolf.com, reading your blog, or perhaps on your Facebook page is going to see you pose next to the famous sign saying the black course is an extremely difficult course. Brooks Koepka apparently didn't read that. He is getting prepared to lap the field. He's 12 under, 7 ahead of some pretty good guys chasing him. But certainly a change in the schedule this year to have the PGA Championship this early. It feels like an adjustment. I think the hope was that there would still be some intrigue and some momentum, and of course anything can happen this weekend, but guys, what do you think? A little surprised to see Koepka that far out in front? Rory, you're shaking your head no.
No. We did do some picks last weekend, remember? Remember who picked him to successfully defend his title?
I remember you picking about eight players, Rory.
No. There was one guy, and I said Brooks Koepka will successfully defend his title, and that was the guy. So, and we've been on that horse all week, and right now I know there's a lot of golf yet to play, but right now it's looking like a pretty solid pick. Of course,
you remember my pick, Rory, don't you?
Dustin Johnson?
Not Dustin Johnson. Adam Scott.
Adam Scott. Well, he's up there.
He's up tied for second. We'll see if anyone can track him down.
Well, if Jordan Spieth can make a run, he can wrap up that career Grand Slam as well. And Billy, you had a different pick.
I had Louis Oosthuizen.
Louis Oosthuizen. That's right.
I don't know what he had today.
Well, we'll have to scroll down the leaderboard and see where Louis is. Wait a minute, he's top 10. He's tied for 10th.
Yeah.
So, Billy, your guy's in there, too. So,
he's Steady Eddie. He's one of those South African, outstanding players that come out of there. So
There are some.
Yep. Well, Bill, we have you joining us today, and more towards the bottom of the hour, we're going to take a look at a much-talked-about golf project that's been getting discussed on the Chicago lakefront down in the Jackson Park area. But, correct me if I've got the band wrong here, Eddie. I was going to say the Talking Heads. Don't they have a song that's On the Road to Nowhere? And perhaps that's where this golf project is going, even though it would be great if we could get some local influence in there to polish up the golf course a little bit. Maybe not make the major investment that some have suggested. But, Bill, while we've got a minute here, I know you spent some time out there looking around with a couple of our local architects, including Greg Martin and Mike Benkuski. And I know you'll probably tell us a little bit about that day while we've got about a minute or so.
Well, sure. I mean, I'm very interested in advocating for a different course than the Woods course, the Woods Walton course. And I called up Greg Martin and talked with him about what other feasibilities there would be. And he said, well, I got to bring in Mike Benkuski, who's got a top 100 course in his design portfolio. And we played 18 holes at Jackson Park, and they had never played it before. And afterwards, they said they were really impressed that there are some really good golf holes there, that the golf course, in their words, in Mike's words, has good bones, and that for a lot less money than what's being tossed around, they could renovate and restore a really nice golf course for the community, not necessarily for out-of-staters.
Yeah, and an affordable golf course.
Affordable as well.
For the people who like to play there.
Right.
So, all right. Great.
We'll get into that later on.
We'll talk about that, and we'll research all the different angles that are going on there. And I know that project has some question marks in terms of feasibility and financial shortfalls, potentially political issues as well. So we'll take a look at all of those. And with that, we will take our first break, and we'll be back with Vince Pellegrino from the Western Golf Association right after this.
Well, they won't make me lose the club, and never make me lose my grip. I want a new glove. Well, they won't hurt my hand.
The Mount Prospect Golf Club has matured into the classic golf course it was before the renovation. Now golfers can play a public golf course rated in the top 15 public golf courses in the state of Illinois by Golf Week magazine. Mount Prospect now has all the classic features of golf courses that were built in the historic area golf going back almost 100 years. The golf course renovation created one of the best practice areas in the northwest suburbs. Gone are just a few mats where golfers hit into a net. Now there is a full double-sided driving range complete with both mats for when it's wet or natural grass hitting areas. Mount Prospect now has two practice putting greens and a short game chipping area. When you're done with your round, check out the grill or the outdoor dining area on the patio where you can enjoy your favorite beverages and maybe a juicy half-pound Mount Prospect burger. For tee times, call 847-259-4200. That's 847-259-4200. And further information can be found at mountprospectparkdistrict.org, mppd.org. When you're ready to play one of the six U.S. Open courses that anyone can play, why not make the short trip up to Erin Hills in Erin, Wisconsin? Located in the northwest suburbs of Milwaukee, Erin Hills is a walking-only course that allows you to enjoy the full experience of golf by walking with your caddy over 18 holes, laid out over the rolling hills in Wisconsin's Kettle Moraine Territory. In recent years, Erin Hills has added more overnight cottages, leaving golfers with only a short morning walk to a tasty Wisconsin breakfast, the driving range, and then the first tee. By midsummer, the new massive putting course will open just right next to the first tee. Nighttime activities, in addition to the burgers, the brats, and the beer, now include fun around the fire pit and activities such as pool, ping pong, darts, and more in the caddy barn. For more information on special rates, overnight stays, and U.S. Open-style golf, visit AaronHills.com and then call to make your reservation at 866-772-4769. Aaron Hills is U.S. Open-style golf, where the trees don't get in the way. This segment is sponsored by the French Lick Resort, home of the Pete Dye and the Donald Ross Golf Courses. For more information, see FrenchLick.com.
I want my dream. Yeah, yeah, really not so leading me.
All right, just past 11 minutes past 10 o'clock here. We're bringing you Golfers on Golf Radio here on AM 750. Ed Stevenson alongside Bill Daniels, Bill Berger, and Rory Spears on a major weekend Saturday. Of course, we'll talk a little bit more about the PGA Championship and Bethpage Black, but I think, guys, one of the favorite things for me about the world of golf and the community in general is how the game can transcend sport and really do things that impacts the lives of others. We see that through the work of countless organizations, and perhaps none have done it better than the Western Golf Association. If you've had a chance to meet someone who's had the honor of being an Evans Scholar and seen what it meant to them to get a full ride to college and have caddying and golf be part of their life, you realize how important it is. And we've gotten to know them for years here in the Chicago area, Rory, and we're seeing something new this year.
Yeah, we sure are. I know people keep telling me they're all excited to go back to Medina and see the BMW Championship in August. That's operated by the Tour and the Western Golf Association, and of course the Western Juniors are going to be out next month at Rich Harvest Farms, and the Western Amateur is not that far of a drive back at one of its longtime places to play, Point of Woods in Benton Harbor, Michigan. But there's more on tap with the Western Golf Association this year, and our next guest, he's an Evans Scholar too, and with that we bring in the Senior Vice President of Tournaments, Vince Pellegrino. And Vince, welcome back to Golfers on Golf Radio.
Well, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Yeah, we got an exciting summer. It's going to be a busy one.
Yeah. Well, Vince, you're gonna have to work quite a bit this summer, but that's always a good thing because it's golf related, and you're also raising a lot of dollars for the Evans Scholars, and I know you guys are on a drive to put 1,000 caddies a year into college. And Vince, tell us, you've got a brand new event, the Evans Scholars Invitational. It's on the tee this week at the Glen Club over in Glenview, and it's a brand new event. So, Vince, tell us about the WGA getting in a partnership here with the PGA and the Web.com Tour, and bringing this new event to the Chicago area.
Yeah, you know, it's a new old event, if you will, at the Glen Club. They obviously hosted a Web.com event back in the day. But yeah, it's great for us to add another professional event to our portfolio of championships, and having the Evans Scholars Invitational, aptly named, to benefit the Evans Scholars Foundation at the Glen Club is really exciting for us. I mean, as you guys know, some of the top players in the game have gone through the web.com system, like Justin Thomas and Bryson DeChambeau, Jason Day, Xander Schauffele, Rance Snedeker. I mean, there's a laundry list of guys who kind of cut their teeth, so to speak, in the web.com, and that's what it's all about. It's going to be the proven ground for the PGA Tour, and this week, you know, upcoming week at the Glen Club is going to be where you're going to see the rising stars of the PGA Tour compete at just a wonderful facility in the Glen Club. So we're really excited about that, and hopefully we'll raise additional awareness for the Evans Scholars Foundation and maybe a few dollars as well.
Well, we know historically there had been great awareness, especially when the Western Open was called the Western Open, and some changes, and for the right reasons, and I think have accomplished some of the goals on the switch to the BMW. But here we have something really named for the Evans Scholars, and this is as you close in on that 1,000 scholar milestone. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about really what it means to close in on that 1,000 scholar milestone?
Yeah, it's an incredible achievement. Hopefully we get there this fall. It looks like it's gonna happen. But just to have sent over 11,000 kids to school on full tuition and housing scholarships since 1930 is really, you know, a dream of Chick Evans, who really started the foundation, and it's become a reality. And it's, you know, being an Evans Scholar alum myself, and seeing how it's changed my life and my career, it's really wonderful to be able to have tournaments like this that raise additional awareness, because there's no better job, in my opinion, than being a caddy over the summer. You know, not just that it could lead to a scholarship, but just everything it does for you, you know, from a financial perspective, but also really being able to communicate, learn the value of hard work and dedication on the golf course, learn the game of golf. That's obviously a lifetime game. So a lot of benefits to it, but it's really a great milestone for us at the Evans Scholars Foundation, and hopefully we can continue to grow from coast to coast.
Well, that growth is important. I think the whole golf industry has taken a look and asked the question of what can we do to develop future golfers? And, of course, the answer was always right there. I think anyone that jumped on their Schwinn bike and pedaled their way over to the local club, like I did growing up at Briarwood Country Club in Deerfield, learned how to play the game and learned how to earn money, learned the culture of the game, and it was an incredible impact. And of course, that club also for a long time had a head professional in Randy Cochran, who himself was an Evans Scholar growing up. So the family network continues to grow, and the impact's incredible. So you know, congratulations on really the continued growth and impact of the WGA in an era where it may be harder to necessarily get kids involved in caddying.
Yeah, and I think it's that's important. You know, everybody talks about growing the game, and I think it's important. But it's how do you get kids who learn the game through caddying in life, and giving them all those values, and then being able to have them give back when they get older and get college educations and get great jobs where they can give back, but then they can actually go out and play the game afterwards and have a game for life. So there's a lot of things we kind of check the box with growing the game, and hopefully with all the championships we increase that awareness for kids to get out there and caddy and earn the scholarship.
Vince, you mentioned a few names that have been out on the web.com tour over the years, but there's some newer players and from with some area connections that are going to be teeing it up this week in your event. Can you tell us about the four players that received sponsor exemptions to compete?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we like I said, we talked about the guys who were you played back in the web.com. We've got some rising stars like Maverick McNealy, Scotty Scheffler, Robbie Shelton, some older players who have been on the PGA Tour like Eric Compton and Steve Marino. But as you mentioned, we are allowed to give away a few exemptions into the championship. And this year we've given our exemptions to Nick Hardy, Dylan Meyer, Chris Wilson, Davis Riley. And a few of those guys, well, all of them really have connections back to the Western Golf Association, which was really important in our decision making and giving out those exemptions. But you know, Nick and Dylan in particular, being University of Illinois standouts, having such a great history with WGA, both finished runner up at the Western Junior, obviously Dylan winning the Western Amateur at the Knollwood Club, and then Nick Hardy being a 3-time Sweet 16er at the Western Amateur. You know, and obviously growing up in that area for Nick, you know, we expect to see a lot of Illini fans out there at the championship and really supporting these two players. Chris Wilson, who was the runner-up at the Western Amateur, also went to Northwestern University. So we've got some local ties with those three guys. And then the final guy, Davis Riley, who was went to Alabama, finished runner-up last year at Sunset Ridge. So all have a tie back to WGA, and hopefully we can follow their careers, you know, even further in the professional ranks, and watching them play this week at the web.com event at the Glen Club, and then, you know, maybe one day seeing them at the BMW Championship.
Well, that would be great, Vince. Hopefully these guys will have a successful year, and before you know it, who knows, maybe if they can win a tournament somewhere, they can jump in by the time you move down to Olympia Fields next year on the calendar. In the meantime, Vince, tell us, the Western Golf Association got a partnership together with financial advisor group Edward Jones, and it's going to make for some great deals on tickets. Tell us a little bit more about it.
sure, it's the best deal you can get. They're free. So
that's a good price. So
yeah.
The gates will be open Thursday through Sunday for the competition rounds. And spectators, we'd love for the spectators to register in advance and get your ticket for free, courtesy of Edward Jones, online at esinvitational.com. But certainly, if you just show up and it's a nice day, which I'm sure it's going to be great weather next week in the 70s, I'm sure, all week, and then come out to the championship, just show up, and you can get in for free. So, I mean, it doesn't beat that, and obviously bring the family and the kids and enjoy some really good golf at what I think is just an incredible facility at the Glen Club. And our partnership with Kemper Sports and Josh Lesnick and the team is just it's been a great partnership, and we look forward to bringing, you know, a web.com event back to the Glen Club and really watching these guys, you know, shoot some good scores. I think it's going to be some really good entertaining golf, considering that these are, you know, the best players in the world, and it's going to be a good golf course for them to score on.
Well, I'll tell you this, Vince. I'm sure that since you're probably in charge of the weather as well, you'll make sure it's supposed to be 82 and sunny today, and I'm sure you'll put that on the calendar for next weekend as well, right?
Yeah, that's what we're gunning for.
I am so glad we finally figured out who's in charge of the golf weather here in Chicago area. Thank you, Vince.
Well, Rory was for a while, but I took over.
No, Gary Holloway told me, he goes, that's Vince, and, you know, and John Kaskowski, your CEO over there. But I'm sure that it'll be a great week. I'm looking forward to being out there and seeing not only some of the younger rising stars, but some guys that are tuning up their game for a variety of reasons that have been out on the PGA Tour already. And Vince, as you mentioned, the Glen Club is a great facility. We saw the golf course last week. It looked in fantastic shape, in spite of you know, all the rain and a couple of April snows this year. It was in pretty good shape. So, Vince, anything else we need to know before we let you go about the inaugural Evans Scholar Invitational this week at the Glen Club?
No, I think it's just going to be, like I said, tickets are free. Come on out and enjoy that. And we kind of bookend the summer with starting with the web.com professional event, and then we end it with the BMW Championship at Medina, which we're really excited about, and it should be a great season of golf.
All right, real good. Well, Vince, thanks so much for taking a few minutes from your personal time on a Saturday to jump in with us, and we'll look forward to seeing you out at the Glen Club this week.
Yeah, we can't wait. Thanks again for having me on.
All right,
hey,
take
good
care.
Luck, Vince.
All right, that's Vince Pellegrino, the Senior Vice President of Tournaments for the Western Golf Association. The Evans Scholar Invitational web.com event tees off this Thursday through Sunday. And as you heard Vince say, you can go online at esinvitational.com/2019-tickets and register and get free tickets to come on out and see a pretty darn good golf tournament. And I think everybody will, everybody that goes out there should have a good time. Ed, I understand there's another golf tournament in town that we need to talk about as well.
Yeah, you know, Rory, we went into that segment talking about really the way golf can benefit a community, and it really, really ties into the conversation that's going to come up about Jackson Park as well. But there's so many good events. I know at Maple Meadows and the Preserve at Oak Meadows, we're thrilled to host a bunch of them throughout the year. Billy, you and I were talking about an organization. We were off the air, the Chicago Youth Transformers, and I know they're supported in part by a golf event coming up at Village Greens in Woodridge. It's on Friday, June 28th. More information on the event at the website is www.chicagotransformers.com, or the organizer is Michael Ingram. Give Mike a call, 630-372-1292. Again, it's at Village Greens in Woodridge on Friday, June 28th. Yet just another one of the great events that is making a connection with the community on behalf of the game of golf.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we take our next break, I do want to send a tip of the cap and or golf visor out to John Varner, the head professional at Beverly Country Club, who defeated Jim Saab from the Ivanhoe Club one up in the championship match of the 2019 Illinois PGA Senior Match Play at Shore Acres. Varner and Saab had a pretty tight match going, and then Varner birdied the par 5 18th hole to win the match. So congratulations to John on winning a senior major. And with that, we will take our next break, and we'll be back to talk a little bit more about the Jackson Park project on Chicago's lakefront right after this.
This segment was sponsored by the French Lick Resort of French Lick, Indiana. Visit this five-star property with 45 holes of great golf, a spa, and casino. Details at FrenchLick.com. Misswood Golf Course on Renwick Road in Romeoville is now open for the golf season. Misswood, an award-winning golf course complete with a fantastic new clubhouse that includes McWethy's Tavern. Come play the Ray Hearn renovated Misswood Golf Club, complete with one of the top club fitting centers in the country. Misswood Golf Club, 815-254-3333. Misswood is home of the Phil Kozin Illinois Women's Open. But if you're not ready to take your game outside yet, visit the Misswood Golf Dome on Route 53 in Bolingbrook. Call them at 630-739-7600. The Misswood Golf Dome, home of McWethy's Sports Bar and the OTB. Come and enjoy golf indoors if you're not ready to take it outside yet at the Misswood Golf Dome on Route 53 in Bolingbrook. Are you ready for the five-star treatment right here in the Midwest? If so, why not find it where Hall of Fame architects like Donald Ross, Pete Dye, and Tom Bendelow have applied their trade? That's only in one place, and that is French Lick, Indiana, home of the French Lick Resort, where the Cook Group has put over $600 million into improving the property over the last 15 years. Whether it's the Pete Dye Golf Course, home of this October's Senior LPGA Championship, or the Donald Ross Course, where the road to the LPGA, the Symetra Tour, comes calling this summer, French Lick offers major championship golf courses that you can play. Need more? How about the Valley Links Course? That's a sporty nine-hole layout that golfers of all skill levels can really enjoy. When golf wraps up for the day, the action moves to the spa, the casino, the pool, and the theater. Relax in the atrium of the West Baden Dome with a beverage of your choice. For more information on one of the top golf destination properties in America, visit online FrenchLick.com. That's FrenchLick.com or call 888-936-9360. This segment is sponsored by the Arlington Lakes Golf Club and the golf courses of the Arlington Heights Park District that include the famed Par 3 golf course on Peyton's Hill in Nickel Knoll Park. 847-590-6050. That's 847-590-6050 or visit ahpd.org.
All right, we're back on Golfers on Golf Radio from 10 to 11 a.m. on Saturday mornings here in Chicago on AM 750, bringing you the world of golf. And we're about halfway through our hour of golf talk. It went quickly as we're making the turn from the front nine to the back, but always great to check in with Vince Pellegrino in the Western Golf Association. Once again, here in studio today, it's Rory Spears, Bill Berger, Bill Daniels, and I'm Ed Stevenson. And earlier in the show, we were talking a bit about one of really the most talked about golf projects in the Chicago area in a while, the proposed Jackson Park project. And Bill Daniels, I know you've certainly taken a close look at it. You were mentioning that you spent some time out there with the architects Greg Martin, Mike Benkuski, and for our listeners who I know this project is likely ringing a bell for. This project seems to, in some ways, have been like a cat with nine lives. It gains momentum, it loses momentum, it changes shape a little bit. But if you don't mind a little bit, hitting even the reset button for our listeners and reminding them how this conversation about the project even came to be.
Well, yeah, thanks, Ed. The project really is the brainchild of Mark Rolfing, television commentator, longtime Hawaii resident, handled PR for Kapalua for years and years. He was at the University of Chicago getting treatment for cancer, which he finished through just in flying colors. We saw him on television this morning. And he was driving around, as he says, and sees the golf courses at Jackson Park and South Shore, and sees the lakefront there, and a light went on in his head. He said, so he went to Mike Kelly, the Chicago Park District CEO currently, and said, we can build a great golf course here, a world-class golf course. And it was his brainchild. And from there, the Park District gave Rolfing a consulting contract to see if it could really be done. Well, after he got the contract signed, he came back to him and said, yeah, we can do this. And at first he brought out, Mark Rolfing brought out architects Bill Corr and Crenshaw, and they looked at it, and Roy and I have talked about this, and they basically declined for various reasons. Crenshaw said they don't like getting involved in politics, and if you're in Chicago, everything is politics. And then at one point in time, the University of Chicago, while it was involved, putting together a proposal for the Obama Foundation Library, they brought in Tom Doak, and Doak did a full evaluation of it, and he could produce 18 championship holes in his mind of the 27 at Jackson Park South Shore. But ultimately, he decided that, or stated that, he had doubts about it because he thought that, assuming the golf course would become popular, that it would kind of push out local golfers, because this would be an expensive golf course, a difficult golf course, and would be taking 27 to make 18. And ultimately, the University of Chicago didn't stay involved, and then Mike Kelly went to Mayor Rahm Emanuel, and Rahm went to his former boss, Barack Obama, and lo and behold, we get Tiger Woods and Tiger Designs presenting a proposed golf course, once again taking 27 holes and make it into 18.
Ed's familiar with that concept, right?
I am. You know, we got the pleasure of working with Greg Martin at the Forest Preserve District of DuPage County, and we took a 288-acre property that had parts of what was originally the Elmhurst Country Club and the Brookwood Country Club, and instead of a flood-prone 27-hole layout with declining infrastructure, we invested a lot of time and a lot of thought to build an 18-hole golf course that's high and dry, and yet actually solves some problems for the community. Holds 190 gallons of stormwater on site in the right places instead of residence basements and backyards. And tournament golf being played there as we speak for the DuPage Junior Classic today. And so familiar with that concept of golf trying to solve problems for the community, but. These projects certainly need a big lift to get done. It takes an organization, be it a Forest Preserve District or Park District, that really has the right finances and the right vision in the right places to get there.
Yeah, and Ed, you'd mentioned a couple minutes ago we were making the turn on our show, and if you're following the PGA Championship this weekend, the early mover now making the turn is Rory McIlroy, 3 under par, moving up 31 spots on the leaderboard, and he is the one making the charge right now at Bethpage. But closer to home, Bill, you gave us a little bit of history on the project. But it seems like, and you and I have discussed this a little bit during the week, there's some different areas of a potential new golf course, especially in Chicago, that need to come together, not only a feasibility of doing this golf course that would make two courses into one, the money to do it, and then there's the political side. And it seemed like this project had some support from now outgoing mayor Rahm Emanuel, and there's a new mayor coming in on Monday, and I don't know about, I understand Lori Lightfoot used to play basketball and softball, but I don't know if she knows anything about golf and wants to support golf in Chicago.
Well, that's a good question. I don't believe Mayor-elect Lightfoot plays golf, but she has expressed her opinions about the project proposal, her concerns are mostly with community input and maintenance of parklands. And she said she wasn't sure that the proper community input had been given, and that she expressed some concerns about the costs. And the costs are significant. At the first point, Mark Rolfing said it would cost $30 million. Then almost overnight it went to $60 million because they forgot to factor in all the infrastructure projects that would have to be done in order for the golf course to be built. So now we're looking at a $60 million project. That was a year ago. It's been found out that the Chicago Department of Transportation has estimated that $30 million infrastructure cost would now be $58 million. And that's been documented. Mm-hmm. So now we're looking at a perhaps $88 million project. And, of course, the Park District has always said that they can't afford to build it. So what Mark Rolfing did with the Park District's approval was put together a 501c3 organization, a charity, called the Chicago Parks Golf Alliance, to raise the $30 million through private donors only, so that it would not be allegedly cost taxpayers' expense. And you talk about a long history. Maybe this is the long and winding road. With apologies.
Another musical reference.
With apologies, right. With apologies to the Beatles.
Yeah.
But the Parks Golf Alliance was founded in 2016. It's now 2019. They're charged with raising $30 million. In their last report to the IRS, which charities are required to do, they list their net assets at $152,000. So they're a long way.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's tricky. Anytime you're in a fundraising endeavor, I think people want to put their dollars into something they see gaining traction. But there's the catch-22. You know, how do you gain critical mass when you don't already have some critical mass? And certainly hard to knock a big vision. I mean, the city of Chicago, the entire lakefront, if you think of the Daniel Burnham plan, wouldn't have happened if somebody hadn't made some bold choices to think big. But at the same time, I think it's the destination that vision is going to get you to that's important to consider, which kind of takes us full circle to the conversation you had with Mike Pinkuski and Greg Martin. It's wonderful to have championship golf and tournament golf, but that's sometimes limited to 1 week a year. And, of course, the rest of the year, property needs to be able to function and sustain itself really as part of the public trust and a piece of the community.
Yeah, Bill, one of the things that people have brought up to me is if we couldn't get the Star Wars George Lucas Museum built down there, how are we going to get a golf course in? Because, obviously Star Wars has had appeal to so many people, different generations now over the decades where the different movies and things have been coming out. And we understand that, the golf course at one time was supposed to be, right out next to the proposed former President Obama library. And we understand now there's a lawsuit regarding that. So, Bill, are some of the people down there who have been fighting the presidential museum that went up against the Star Wars museum, are they some of the people expressing concern about the golf course as well?
Absolutely. Once I heard about the Mark Rolfing course, I became more interested in Jackson Park. And I was born in Hyde Park. My grandparents lived right across the street from South Shore, so I could see it when it was still private. So I contacted an organization called the Jackson Park Watch. They're opposed to the Obama plans for the library in Jackson Park. They're not opposed to it being on the south side. Washington Park is the alternative. And they actually have been very helpful to me in providing me information from freedom of information requests to the Park District and to the mayor's office that showed the actual expenses. And there's also another organization called Open Lands and Friends of the Park, which was the major organization that put off the Star Wars museum. And they all have grave doubts about it. And once again, this being Chicago, that means politics. So Friends of the Parks wants to work with the city when they can. So they haven't filed a lawsuit yet against the golf course. And Open Lands is the same way. They have support from the Park District, so they can't be too vocal yet. But I think in terms of the ebb and flow of this project, I think it's still ebbing. Originally Mark Rolfing said that they would start construction in 2017. That obviously isn't going to happen. So I think it's ebbing for another reason too. In talking with Greg Martin, anything that's done along the lakeshore requires the Army Corps of Engineers review and approval. And when talking with Greg, he said that typically takes, in a good situation, 2 years of an approval process. So this golf course is a long ways away, and I think that's what makes donors, not investors, but donors, no money coming back to them, I think very leery of the project.
Mm-hmm. Well, that...
You know, go ahead, Bill, getting off that money thing, doing many junior golf clinics for Jackson Park Association golfers, and you're probably way more familiar with it than me. What's... What their thoughts can't be too high on this deal, right? The hardcore that have put a lot of years in, and you know, the few people that got familiar with over the years, they probably, you know, my guess is, I'm not sure that they're really for that, you know. So that's probably another issue.
I think so.
Locally, right?
Yeah. I mean, I play golf at Jackson Park at South Shore on average once or twice a week during the summertime, and I always talk to people coming off the tees or whatever, and the opinion is kind of split. I mean, Mark Rolfing said that this would be a huge financial engine for the South Shore, and so South Shore needs an economic development, but he hasn't indicated how or how much that's going to actually aid the neighborhood. So some people are in favor of it, Bill, because they hear economic development and they get excited. Other people are opposed to it because this is essentially a golf course that's really built into the community.
So would you think it's 50-50?
It could be 50-50. It's hard to say, but it's certain. The Rolfing proponents would want us to believe that it's much more unanimous.
Sure.
And it is not.
Well, it certainly brings up, as a golf course operator, as a PGA professional running facilities, I think one of the things proposed that intrigued me and was a great idea but an operational puzzle was the concept that this improved facility would still be affordable for the local community. You know, certainly I think any of us that travel somewhere from outside of the community to go play a tour caliber championship golf course expect to pay a premium greens fee, and yet here you might have a fee for people from outside of Chicago that was a couple or a few hundred dollars, like a premier destination, and yet still something that really wasn't going to be a change for the local community. And how do you manage that? How do you run a program to first of all meet your revenue goals for the maintenance on that type of facility, but also make sure that the appropriate fees are charged to the appropriate people without a disparity that's going to cause a problem? So,
yeah, exactly.
If you buy into that, I would imagine if I was a local golfer and there could be great improvements, my greens fees were going to be about the same. It sounds pretty good, but the delivery of that, a real challenge.
Yeah, I think you're right, Ed. I mean, the Park District has said they would try to keep the fees at $50 for local residents. And they haven't defined local. If it includes the whole city of Chicago, that's quite a few more people than typically play.
Right.
Yeah. But they haven't. That $50 is not in writing. It's just been tossed about. They also sometimes mention the Torrey Pines model. San Diego, Torrey Pines North and South, wonderful golf courses. And for the locals, San Diegans, it is less money. But I did some math, and if I lived in San Diego and wanted to play Torrey Pines, upfront costs would be about $125 right away. And then the green fees would still be in the $60 to $70 range, and that's without a cart.
Right, right.
So it's a difficult get.
Yeah. Well, you can go to Bethpage, the site of this week's PGA Championship. They have four courses there. And if you want to play the black course, first off, you're going to walk because they really don't have carts out there. And the green fee that I paid a couple years ago.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, I know. You're all in shock.
We have breaking news. Rory Spears paid a greens fee?
Yeah. It was $155, which local people around here.
We might need to go to break while I recover.
Own bag?
I did.
Okay.
When the head pro there told me that the locals walk. And being that I was an out-of-towner, I would probably need a caddy because I'm not a local. I threw the bag over my shoulder and carried it along with one New York resident and watched the other two New Yorkers play with their push carts. So, but anyway, yeah, there's no carts out there, and you know there's a program to run, and they do all sorts of other green and you know basically. Maintenance studies and different things about turf management and all sorts of things. So their top course there is, of course, Top Dollar. You know, Bill, one question, and, you know, it's been bandied about in a couple of stories, usually in the Chicago Tribune, about a potential what's currently called the BMW Championship being played there if the golf course got built. But for those of us who try to get in and out of another sporting venue on the lakefront, Soldier Field, around Bears games, it's a mess. And realistically, And I know at a lot of the major tournaments, the fans are not parking at the golf course. They're coming in on shuttle buses. But how hard would it be to get people, a large amount of people? Let's say you get 35,000 people out at a tournament there. How are you going to move those people around? How much of a potential nightmare is it getting people into that location and getting them out of there?
I think it's a big problem. I think every spectator would have to be bused in probably from the point of view, you know, Soldier Field. But then the two golf courses themselves are at best 225 acres. There would be very little room between holes to put people. And the whole site is tight, so it'd be tough even to build large grandstands. So I think course movement is probably hasn't even been considered when the first drawings were made. But I've looked at the Tiger Woods drawings a lot, and it's just a very, very tight golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Rolfing talked about having a PGA Tour event there, and I think that creates a problem in my mind as well. And you can use Bethpage as an example. It's a public course. It's a very, very difficult golf course. It's difficult to have a course that is, in Tiger Woods' words, player-friendly and also up to tour standards. If you look at the public courses that are that way, they're Bethpage, they're Torrey Pines, they're
Erin Hills.
Erin Hills.
Yeah.
Those are tough courses.
Chambers Bay. It's another county course. Yeah.
I look at those. I love looking at Bethpage on television. I'm a better than average golfer, but I don't know if I'd want to play that course. It's just it's not going to be a lot of fun. So I think the proposed dual purpose of a player-friendly course for locals and a tour course don't mesh very well.
Bill, let me ask you this. We mentioned incoming Mayor Lori Lightfoot before, but as we know in Chicago, it's not always just all about the mayor. There's aldermen, there's city council, and there's different people and inspectors and different things. Do you get any sense of where the overall political picture is on this golf course beyond the mayor's office?
Well, that's a good question. You know, Mike Kelly has been was really the point person for Mayor Emanuel, and he's the current Park District president. But when any new administration comes in, they usually get to change whoever they want, and that might mean Kelly's job could be in jeopardy for a couple of reasons. In 2018, the Friends of the Parks produced a report that basically reiterated the report of 1983 that the Chicago Park District discriminated against minority neighborhoods in the allocation of funds. And if that's hung around Mike Kelly's neck, I don't think that's a very good sign for him, given the fact that Lori Lightfoot is coming in as a reform candidate. With Mike Kelly gone, I see the political support really waning. And I think the overhanging, overarching issue of funding it will also be even more difficult to overcome.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bill, I know you spent some time out there with a couple of architects we know pretty well, Greg Martin and Mike Benkuski. And could there be an alternative design on this site, upgraded with the use of local architects like Benkuski and Martin, and yet giving Chicago and Chicagoland area golfers a better place to play without turning this into some $90 million, as one writer wrote, Tim Cronin, I believe, and the Illinois Golfer called it a big boondoggle.
it could very well be a boondoggle. And there are alternatives. And Eric Zorn, a columnist for the Tribune and also a golfer, who once proposed to put nine holes at north of the island where Migs Field is, interviewed Mike and Greg, and they both said, look, for $6 or $7 million, they could renovate it, restore it, upgrade the infrastructure, Ed knows all about this, and produce a really worthwhile course. And the course has, in their words, has great bones. It's an old, classic golf course. The other thing that I think should be observed here is that there's really a new trend in golf course construction coming up. And who started that but none other than Mike Kaiser? His next course at Sand Valley is going to be a 6,000-yard par 68 golf course.
Awesome.
And he says those are the courses that are fun. And I proposed that if they do that kind of restoration, renovation, make it 6,000 yards, par 68, Just call it the old course at Jackson Park.
There you go.
And it's even a value add for wherever the Obama Foundation might go.
It is 10:49. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears with Bill Berger and Ed Stevenson, a special guest in studio today, longtime golf consultant and the founder of Golf Chicago Magazine, Bill Daniels. We've been discussing the proposed Jackson Park golf course project that's proposed for the lakefront. And we'll come back with some final thoughts on that and all the other championships going on this week right after this.
This segment was sponsored by the golf courses of the Arlington Heights Park District, including Arlington Lakes Golf Club, where you can now play 3-hole, 6-hole, 9-hole, or 18-hole rounds. For tee times, call 847-577-3030 or visit ahpd.org.
DuPage Golf has reinvented the nature of golf in Chicagoland. After extensive renovations, the Preserve at Oak Meadows is reborn as a new, award-winning 18-hole golf course, practice facility, and environmental haven. The reviews are in. The Preserve at Oak Meadows joins the ranks of top courses in the country on Golf Week's Best You Can Playlist and is the winner of Golf Digest's Green Star Award and Golf Inc.'s Renovation of the Year. Visit DuPageGolf.com to book a tee time. Learn more about the Preserve at Oak Meadows at DuPageGolf.com.
Arrowhead Golf Club in Wheaton opened in 1927, and it's only gotten better ever since. The most recent renovation by architect Greg Martin has golfers raving about the conditions and the style of this 27-hole facility that has added the white tour sand in its bunkers, not seen on many public golf courses. The course is surrounded on three sides with forest preserve areas that make sure no homes will ever come into play. Arrowhead's practice areas, the driving range, the putting green, and the short game area are now lighted for when evening hours are your best time to practice or take a lesson from Arrowhead's professional teaching staff. The clubhouse is one of the newest and largest in the area and is home to one of the highest rated 19th or 28th holes in the area. Guests can enjoy eating on the outdoor elevated patio that allows for viewing on the closing holes of the golf course. So why not book your tee times today at 630-653-5800. That's 630-653-5800. Arrowhead Golf Club, located on Butterfield Road in Wheaton.
Something special has already been here. This man has put on quite a show. Does he have one more thrill in the tank? He does! A closing birdie for Brooks Koepka. It just doesn't stop.
All right, bringing us out of the break, that audio was courtesy of PGA.com. Of course, highlighting Brooks Koepka, who is off and running at Bethpage Black. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. Ed Stevenson with Bill Berger, Rory Spears, and special guest Bill Daniels. We've actually had a lot of fun talking about golf, the proposed Jackson Park South Shore project, and really maybe what some of the needs are for the community. You know, we mentioned architect Greg Martin. Just this last week on Tuesday, Greg Martin was in front of the Forest Preserve District of DuPage County Board presenting a plaque from the American Society of Golf Course Architects. That project and Greg Martin were recipients of the Design Excellence Award, which really recognizes projects for superior design, not only for golf, but for the broader impact. And, you know, you mentioned before the break, Bill, the idea, this trend in golf of some shorter courses that are more dynamic in ways. And some of Greg Martin's work out in Aurora that also won a Design Excellence Award was at Phillips Park.
Yeah, right.
Which is one of those courses.
City of Aurora.
It's the home of the first tee out in that area. You see kids playing, and yet they play the city championship there. It might be 6,300 yards, and really the brilliance of how that can suit a broad array of golfers and tie into the community, I think, is some of Greg Martin's best work.
I think that's a real good point. Shorter courses, I think you're going to see more and more of. As I said before, Mike Kaiser has always been a trendsetter, and his newest course is going to be that. And you know, other golf commentators have said that you go to England or Scotland, people play golf in 3 hours and 15 minutes. For one reason, they walk and they walk fast. But the other reason is they're not playing 7,000-yard golf courses. And I think that that is we're going to see more of that. While the golf population in some sectors continues to age, people want something that's not quite as much challenge and perhaps a shorter walk. And I also think that, as you know, Vince Pellegrino was talking about the Western Golf Association, the Evans Scholar Foundation, are integral in growing golf. I think the Woods proposal would be just the opposite. It would stifle the growth of golf in the South Shore community. South Shore Golf Course is a short 9-hole course. It needs a little bit of help to bring it back up to standards. But to have a course where you can get on there and play for less than $15 and do it in an hour, hour and a half would be great. And I also think the proposals that Greg, you know, not that he's making a proposal, but rather that he's saying, look, this
concept,
other things.
Yeah,
other things to be done. A better practice area so that the First Tee of Chicago, which has a program there now, but could be expanded to give more opportunities, I think would be a great way to serve the community.
Well, it seems like sustainability. You know, it's one thing to bring the kids out to the golf course and let them have a great day, but for the kid that really likes it, can he come back the next day, the day after right. that? You know, that's how you build these things, right. is you get people out there frequently.
Right, exactly. And I grew up in a suburban community that had a pretty scratchy, sketchy 18-hole golf course. And after I caddied at Briarwood, like Ed, I'd ride my bike over to Sunset Valley and Highland Park and get in $5, you know, a $5 run. The only thing I want to mention is that Sunset Valley was built in the 20s. It's an old golf course. It needed help. Rick Jacobson, another regional right. architect, went in there and did a total restoration and renovation of not only the course but the clubhouse for $7 million. So this is not a pie-in-the-sky project.
No, and certainly this isn't the last chapter either. There's going to be more to come on this story. We're going to encourage certainly our listeners to join us on golfersongolf.com, where our very own Rory Spears will, I know, continue to follow this in the blog. And, Bill, we'll look forward to checking back with you. We appreciate your insight and expertise. But we're ready to hole it out on and tap it in on hole 18 here that goes fast when you're having fun. We want to put a shout-out to our producer, Mike, for getting us out to you this morning, and, of course, lining up our guests, getting them connected in. Vince Pellegrino from the Western Golf Association. Follow them this week as they get ready for a great event out at the Glen Club. And, once again, a special thank you to our in-studio guest, Bill Daniels.
Thank you.
We're going to wish everyone a happy weekend. Find us online at golfersongolf.com and tune in next Saturday when we'll be back on the air here on AM 750 from 10 a.m. to 11. Until then, I'm Ed Stevenson for Rory Spears and Bill Berger. Have a great week.
Happy birthday to my dad, Ralph Spears, and then everybody. It's
happy
a warm
birthday,
day today.
Ralph.
Go hit them straight.
Happy birthday, Ralph.
The preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spear Sports Communications Limited and guests.